Today's shir is Masechta Chagiga, Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the top of Amud, at the Gemara now begins to explain the halachas that we learned in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah that we learned in our previous year, we had a lengthy discussion which way is Chayma, B'Kaydish, B'Truma, where Kaydish has chumris, has certain stringencies that Truma does not have. And one of these stringencies that the Mishnah identified was by Kaidish, we were not allowed to put one keli, one vessel into another vessel, but we want to immerse it. By Truma, we may. Ask the Gemara, Kaidish my tamaloi. So why ask the Gemara's da'alocha that by Kaidish we may not do so? Answers the Gemara, Rav Eila's explanation, Amar Rav Eila, Neshekvedish Akli, the weight of the inner keli, chaitzitz, serves as a chetzitza with other keli, and it prevents all the water from being able to touch the keli, the inner keli that's enveloping the other keli, and that's why for Kaddish we're machmer. So this is a very interesting explanation, and many mefarshim try to understand this. One question is that the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis teaches us that if we know we have a lulav, and in the lulav we put the hadasim, the ravis, in the holder of the lulav and the hadasim, and sometimes one of the leaves of the hadasim, one of the leaves of the aravis, may get detached. And the question is, we now are holding the lulav in our hand, but there's a chatzitza between our hand and the lulav with this detached leaf from the hadasim and the ravis. If it's not detached, so obviously they belong there. The hadasim and the ravis are part of the dalaminim. But if they don't belong there, why is there not a concern of chatzitza? And the Gemara Masechta the Sukkah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis discusses this question. The Gemara says, because min b'mino eini chaitzitz, it is a leaf of the hadasim, it is a leaf of the aravis, and that doesn't create a chatzitza. If that's the case, why, and now Gemara as well, when we have two vessels, one inside the other, as it still should be a situation of min b'mino eini chaitzitz, the two vessels are the same type of vessel, and they both need to be put into the mikvah. So he answers that the rule of min b'mina in the chaitzitz says that detached hadasim leaves, detached arava leaves, don't create a chatzitza because they're considered an extension of the hadasim that are there. They're considered an extension of the aravas that are there. In our Gemara, when somebody is immersing two vessels, we can't say that one vessel is an extension of the other vessel. All we have here is two vessels that are both tameh and both require tefillah. And therefore, this would be a situation of chatzitza. So now, the Sfasemis points out, that's only if they were put there before we did the tefillah. But let's say we put the keli into the mikvah, and then we put one keli into another keli, that would be no question. Because, you know, if that's only for convenience purposes, but once I immerse the keli in the mikvah properly, when it's not one keli in another keli, and after I did so, I now put them one into the other, there would be, of course, no question that that would be an acceptable form of tefillah. And, of course, the question that comes up, as we learned this Gemara, is when somebody goes to the mikveh and he wants to immerse kelim, what is the way that he's allowed to immerse one keli into another keli? Is it going to be that we have a chatzitza, or that's not considered a chatzitza? Says the Ramah, in Yerudeyah, Simon Reish Peis Sivvav, he quotes the Mordechai, that if the inner keli is heavy and you put it into the outer keli, and there's no room for the water to enter, says the Ramah that it's not a valid tefillah. And the Gra points out that didn't we just learn in our Gemara that this is only concerned by Kodesh. If by Truma it's not a concern, so certainly if we're immersing Kalim, we're not even immersing Kalim for Truma. We're immersing Kalim that we should be able to eat Tchulin in them. Why is it an issue? So he says, that's only, so the Gra says an explanation of Derma, that this halacha that we've been learning in our Gemara, that the Gemara that we just learned, that this is only halacha by Kodesh, not anywhere else, says the Gra is only by light Kalim. And it's very similar to the Vart that we just quoted from the Svasemis. Only in a situation where it's not so tight and the water could get in, could we be lenient. But in a place where it's not tight, where it's tight because the inner keli is heavy, then there's no problem. Certainly, we always have the opportunity to follow the opinion of the Svasemis, that if the water came in first before I put the inner keli in, there is no problem. There's another kula that's suggested by the Taz. The Taz says that if somebody put his hand into the mikveh and his hand got wet with the mikveh water, and then he put his hand around the keli, so even though the inner keli is heavy and it touches in a very strong way the outer keli, since I made it wet with mikveh water first, then the halacha is that it's fine. Another way of being toivel such a keli is by using a basket that has holes in it and making sure that the water is able to come in from all directions, and that would also be a way to do keli b'tar keli. But as we're learning in our Gemara, that's only by all types of tefillah. But when we're talking about the tefillah for Kodesh, Chazal were particularly machmer. Asked the Gemara, for Hamid the Sefer, since asked the Gemara, how could you, Rav Ila, say that the reason we're not allowed to be toivel, keli b'toy keli, is because of concern of chatzitza? But asked the Gemara, for Hamid the Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the Sefer, Mishnah chatzitza, there's one of the cases that the Mishnah said is an issue, is because of chatzitza, bereisha, isn't that clearly an indication that the reisha la mashum chatzitza? Because if both cases were chatzitza, shouldn't I mention first? That means, and the Gemara explains itself, the Ketani, because we learned at the end of the Mishnah, Ketani Sefer, v'loi k'midas ha-kodesh midas ha-truma. The din by kodesh and truma are not the same. Sheba kodesh, by kodesh, matam mangif, you have to untie all the knots of a garment that you're taking for tefillah, or mangif, and then you have to completely dry it, and then matbel, and then you could be taken to the mikveh, vachikach kosher, and then you could retie all the knots. Or betruma, kosher vachikach matbel. Betruma, the halach is that we could even tie it before we take it to the mikveh. Now, presumably, what's the reason we have to be machma by Kodesh? Because the Mishnah is speaking about a concern of chatzitza. Isn't that the same? Says the Gemara. Reisha, the Sefer, answers the Gemara. Reisha and Sefer, both the Reisha and the Sefer are mishum chatzitza. So now the question is, if they're both about chatzitza, so why does the Mishnah have to tell us the same halacha twice? In both cases, the halacha is based on the rule that we have to be concerned about a chatzitza by Kodesh, and we're not concerned about a chatzitza by Truma, says the Gemara V'tzricha. We need to speak about this case in both situations. Why? The Yashmina Reisha, if we would only have learned the Reisha, haven't been a high time to the Kodesh Loi, why are we being machmer in the case of Kodesh? They can't put one keli into the other keli. Because as we explained a moment ago, there's a concern that the inner keli is heavy and it weighs down on the outer keli and it prevents the mikveh water from being able to touch all of the inner keli. And since it prevents all of the water touching that keli, we don't have a proper tefillah. Ava Sefer. In the Sefer, where there is not, where that concern doesn't exist. Just because you have a knot it doesn't make a chatzitza. That's why the Mishnah teaches us that even by Kodesh we have that, that even by the knot there is that concern. On the other hand, says the Gemara, V'yashmin and Sefer, if we only would have learned the concern of a knot by bag, by garment, by Kodesh, Havmin Hainatam Dul Kodesh Loi, what we would say by Kodesh this is a concern, Mishum, the Kitri B'maya Dukim Adik. When we put the, something with a knot into water, it gets even tighter than that. And that's why there would be a greater concern for Chatzitza. Av Reisha. When we speak about the Reisha, the Maya Ikfuya Makfile Amana. Water is able to spread all over. And since water is able to spread all over, therefore I would say, Lo Yav Chatzitza. It's not considered a Chatzitza. That's why Tzricha, the Mishnah had to teach us that even in that case, it's not that by Kodesh it is a concern, and by Truma it's not a concern. So the Tori Evan points out that the Gemara is teaching us that in both of the examples that the Mishnah gave us, we would be makel at least by one of them by Hilchos Kodesh. So as the Tori Evan, our Gemara seems to be focused why we're being machmer by Kodesh. Ask the Tori Evan, why is the Gemara not focused that we're not being machmer by Truma? And maybe if the Mishnah would have not mentioned both dinim, we would have only been makel by Truma by one of them and not by the other one. So answers the Tori Evan that the reality is that he says that sometimes when the Mishnah teaches us a kula and a chumra, so the Chiddush is the kula. And sometimes when the Mishnah teaches us a kula and a chumra, the Chiddush is the chumra. Sometimes the Chiddush is the kula and sometimes the Chiddush is the chumra. He says, in our Gemara, Rav Ila's Chiddush in explaining the Mishnah is not in Hilchos Truma. Both of these situations are not cases of chatzitza. And that's why that's not something that needs to be taught. That it is considered a chatzitza is the Chiddush. And now the question is, are both cases correct? And that's why the Mishnah teaches both cases. It says the Gemara, Rav Ila Tamei. It says the Gemara, after understanding what Rav Ila just taught us, so now we end up learning that there are 10 cases in our Mishnah where Truma is more chomer than Kodesh. Dama Rav Ila, Amar Rav Chanina, Ba'papa, Esa Malas. Because if we learn the Mishnah, we will discover that the Mishnah really has 11 rules. But now that Rav Ila has explained that the rules, the two rules of the Mishnah about the knots and the beged and the keli b'tar keli, both are based on the same concern of chatzitza. So really, even though they're mentioned as two separate rules, they're really one rule. And therefore, the Mishnah doesn't have 11 rules, they're just 10 rules. And because they're both based on the concept of chatzitza. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, ask the Mefarshim the obvious question. If that's the case, that both of these rules are based on Hilchos Chatzitza, so, and as the Gemara just explained, they are indeed needed to be mentioned separately, but why weren't they taught together? So the Mefarshim say a very important vart. They explain that the Mishnah, which mentions all of these chumras of Kodesh over Truma, was taught in a certain order. They were not taught in a certain order. As the halachas were taught in the Beis HaMedrash, they were recorded in the Mishnah. And it didn't have necessarily any connection. The way the rules are mentioned in the Mishnah don't necessarily mean that they have to be mentioned together. Says the Gemara. The Gemara's comments, Harishonis, the first rules of Mishnah, Bein Kodesh, Bein Chum Shanaas Atar Kodesh. We learned in our previous year that they used to have, there were people that kept chulun al shanas ataras kodesh. Even the food that there was, the chulun food that they ate, they kept it on the level of kodesh. And we said, where was that relevant? Because as we've been discussing in our shurim, kodesh could go all the way to revi. Furthermore, we explained that the reason people did so is because they wanted to make sure that when they're going to be eating kodesh food, they should treat it properly. And if they're going to become accustomed to eat chulun, not in the same way as they eat Kaddish, they may make an error and eat the Kaddish in the wrong way. So, says the Gemara, the first five rules that I mentioned in the Mishnah apply both by Kaddish and by Chul and by Chayish to Kaddish. The Achrayness, but the last group, only apply by real Kaddish, but don't apply Avaloi L'chul and Shana Satayas Kaddish. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, Chamish Kamaisa, the first group of rules, this lay Dror the Tama, Midaraisa, where there's a real concern of Tama. That's where Gosbar Rabbanon, that's where Chazal said we should be Machmer, and that's why the Machmer, not just by Kaddish, they're even Machmer by Chul Shanasa, Tumasa Kaddish. Bailin Kaddish, Bailin Chul Shanasa, Tarasa Kaddish. But Sraisa, whereas the last group, the lesser Dror Tuma, that there's not Midaraisa, where there is no concern of Tuma Daraisa. That's why Gazba Rabbanan, Chazal were only Machmer by Kaddish, but by Chul and Shanasa Atayus HaKaddish, Chazal did not feel the need to be Geyser. And Rashi explains why we have this concern. Ein Tavon Kli B'Tach Kli, so there's a real concern of a Chatzitza. We know a Chatzitza is a concern with the Raisa. The Mishnah then spoke about, as we explained in our previous year, that if one part of the keli, the other part of the keli also becomes tama, because as there's a concern that maybe the keli, because as we explained the Mishnah, really one part of the keli does not have the ability to transfer tuma to the other part of the keli, because kalim are rarely in a high level of tuma. But what happens if there was liquid that emanated from the body of a zov that will make the keli tumah? There, the keli becomes av tumah. And if one part of the keli touches another part of the keli, then it will have the ability to pass over, transfer tumah. Somebody who carries a medras hazov, so there we have to be concerned, even if he's carrying another vessel, as we explained, a kli cheres, that shoe he's carrying, the example we gave in yesterday's shir, will fall into the keli. The next thing was that the big day oich le truma medrash le kodesh, because we're concerned that the people who eat truma don't protect themselves adequately. The halacha that when we finish a keli, we want to use it for kodesh, we have to take it to the mikveh, because we have to really be concerned that at the moment we finish the keli, and when the moment we finish the keli, it is able to become tamim midaraisa, at that point, the liquid that emanates from the body of the Zov might have touched that keli and made a tamid deraisa. Whereas the other halacha of kli mitzarav mash v'toich l'kodesh, we're going to have in our coming shiurim that there's a question if that's a din b'deraisa. And we're going to have to explain that the Gemara that we just learned follows the opinion that that's only in the concern b'derabonon. Harvi b'kodesh paso. Again, we're going to have a Gemara on Daf Chaf Dalet if that's a rule only midaraisa midrabbanim. By Kaddish, if one of his hands becomes tamei, the other one you have to immerse the other one, because Chazal, as we started the shurim, this whole rule that we have to wash our hands is only chumra midrabbanim, and to expand it and say that if one hand comes in contact, it affects the other hand, is only a din d'rabbanan. Food that never got wet, that you're still not allowed to eat it by kodesh, is certainly a chumra d'rabbanan, because we learn often, food that never got wet is not mukshir, is not susceptible to tumah. And certainly the last halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, that oinen and amchusu kippurim require tefillah kodesh, there's really no reason for them to have to go to the mikveh again. You only have to go to the mikveh if he became tameh. These individuals did not become tameh. And this chumrah, therefore, says the Gemara, is only a chumrah derabbanan. And that's why the Gemara is saying now, it's only applicable by kodesh and not by chul shanas al taras of kodesh. Everything we've learned in our shiur today, in explaining particularly the rule of the Mishnah of kli b'toich kli, is based on chatzitza. And Rav Ila's basis is that both the halacha of kli b'toich kli and the halacha that you need to untie the knots before you take a beged to the mikveh, a beged for kodesh, are both based on the same principle of chatzitza. But Rava accepts the Gemara's comment. Rava amid the Sefer have Mishum Chatzitza. If the din of the Mishnah that you have to untie the knots is because of Chatzitza, that's clearly an indication that Reisha, that the first case of the Mishnah, La Mishum Chatzitza. The reason of Keli B'tach Kli is not because of Chatzitza. So what is the reason why you're not to put Kli B'tach Kli? V'Reisha Hainatama, and the Reisha, the reason the Mishnah says we can't put Keli B'tach Kli, is for a different concern altogether. The concern is, Gzeira Shloyat B'machtam Etzinairus, you may have small kalim, needles, pins, beklish and beshver sanoid. You may put your that keli, and you're concerned that that keli that you want to toivel is not, should not get lost as you put it into the mikvah. So you're going to put it into another keli. And the halacha is that that other keli has to have an opening at least the size of a straw that they used to use to drink from different flasks. The halacha is that if somebody, ketanan, as the Mishnah teaches us, the halacha is if somebody has erev mikvahs, and there are a number of cases that we could talk about when this comes up. One is that you have two mikvahs. One mikvah doesn't have a b'ayim saw, which we learn often throughout Shas. A mikvah that doesn't have a b'ayim saw is not a valid mikvah, and it's standing right next to a mikvah that does have a b'ayim saw. How do we connect these two mikvahs that even if you want to enter the pool that doesn't have a bum saw, the halach is that it'll be a valid tefillah. So the halach is if there's a hole between those two mikvahs, shveris anoid, that has the circumference of the straw that we just spoke about, then the halach is that you could go into either pool. And that is when it is k'ofyoy k'chalola, that this it's the width and circumference of that straw. And Chazal said, it's the width that if you stick in two fingers and you could move your fingers around that hole, that's enough to connect the two mikvahs. So the concern here, as says the Gemara, that if somebody's going to put this small needle pin into that mikvah, into a vessel that has a smaller opening, it won't be proper way of doing the tefillah. And since it won't be proper way of doing the tefillah, Chazal said that by Kodesh we should never do a Kli B'tach Kli. There is an interesting machlokes rishonim. If these shurim that the Gemara just identified are deraisa or derabbanan. The Rambam's opinion is that the shear that the Gemara just identified is a shear midaraisa. The Tosfos quotes a Rav Elchanan who says that the shear here is a shear, it's only a shear derabbanan. Savala kahop. So now, says the Gemara, if according to Rav's explanation of the Mishnah, we're now going to have a whole new understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is the rule of Kli B'tach Kli, and the rule of untying the knots are two different rules. Kli B'tach Kli is because of what we just explained, and untying the knots is because of the Kli B'tach Kli, as we explained, and untying the knots is because of Chatzitza. If that's going to be the case, says the Gemara, Savala Kahod Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Barvua, Achas Asu Ma'al Shanukan, that the Mishnah indeed mentions 11 cases that differentiate between Kodesh and Truma, and there are 11. And the Gemara comments, consistent with what we just learned a few moments ago, Sheish Rishonis, the first six rules mentioned in the Mishnah will apply, Bein L'Kodesh, Bein L'Chulun, Shnasa Taras L'Kodesh, because those are all situations that we could come to a Tumah Deraisa. Achronis, in the last group, the last five, which are only the Rabbanan concerns, they're only going to apply by Kodesh, but they're not going to apply by Chulin Shanasu Ataris HaKodesh. So we learned now a very important halacha, and that's the halacha of how you could connect a kosher mikvah with a non-kosher mikvah and still be able to go into the mikvah that is not kosher. And there, as I said, the case that is usually explained, which is the concern here, is when you have a mikveh that doesn't have a b'ayim saw, next to a mikveh that does have a bar mitzvah. But there's another case. As we also have learned, that the water that's supposed to be in the mikveh may not be mayim shuvim. So let's say you'll have, again, two pools. In one, you'll have enough water, you'll have mayim shuvim. And the other one, you'll have kosher mikveh water. And you want to be able to walk in, go into the pool that has the mayim shuvim. The way you can go into that pool is by making this hole. So there's an interesting rush. The Rosh says, as long as there was a hole at one point, we don't have to have the hole there forever. Once Hashok was performed, that connects these two mikveh, that's going to be good enough. And there are some paiskim that say that this sack of the Rosh is only by Maim Shuvim. He explains as follows. One, Maim Shuvim is water that can't be used for a mikveh. The Maim Shuvim becomes kosher by making hashaka. Once the mayim shuvim became kosher by making hashaka, so then it's not mayim shuvim anymore. And therefore, even the hashaka isn't being done currently, I could go into the pool that has the mayim shuvim. But if you have a mikveh that doesn't have a bar mitzvah, so a mikveh that doesn't have a bar mitzvah is not a valid mikveh. And since it's not a valid mikveh under those circumstances, I can never use it unless the kashaka is continuing currently. Another question that Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Devei Maaskil Ka'avya discusses. He says, the question is, we just learned we have to have the size of a hole. What is going to be the halacha? Do we have to have the water passing through that hole that's connecting these two mikvahs, or as long as we have such a hole, it's good enough? So the Rabbeinu Tam says, as long as we have such a hole, even if there isn't water passing through them, it's good enough. The Reed disagrees that we have to have a stream of water. And the nafkamina between Rabbeinu Tam and the Reed would be, could that hole be above the level of the water? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it can be above the level of the water. Whereas according to the Ri, the hole would have to be below the level of the water. The Rama paskens like the Ri. And he says that the hole has to be below the level of the water. However, the Rama is talking about a case where one mikveh doesn't have a bar mitzvah and the other mikveh does have a bar mitzvah. But in a case where Maim Shuvim, there the Shulchan Aruch says we could be more lenient. Why? Because as we just explained, we see that the Rosh was more lenient when the disqualification is Mayim Shuvim. It seems, however, that Rama would be Machmer in both cases as well. There's another way that the Morrow in Masechta Beis, that Yud Zayin Amud Beis, speaks about a Shaka. The halacha is that if you have food or drink that became Tameh, you have to take them to Mikveh. And you can't take food or drink into a mikveh. However, the Gemara over there teaches us that there's a pasuk that teaches that tamei water is an exception to this rule and that tamei water can be taken to the mikveh. What do? You take a cup of tamei water and you put it into the mikveh, and as soon as it touches the mikveh water, it becomes tar. It's considered as if it's recreated, and now it's considered water that's tahar. Rashi explains that the mechanism that we have hashaka, the concept behind making this water tahar is called zriya. Just like the halacha is that if we have seeds that are tamei, if they're planted into ground, they lose their status of tamei. So too, this water, by being put into the mikveh and touching the mikveh water, that's called zriya, and it becomes kosher. Says the Gedulei Tuma that, so in our Gemara, we just discussed shiurim, and we even had a discussion if these shiurim are the raisa or the rabbanon. The Gedulei Tuma says that the shiur of Sheferis Hanoid that we learned that accomplishes hashaka is not good enough for Zriya. The Turi Oven says that it is sufficient, that we don't have to have submerge the entire cup into the water, into the mikveh, as long as it touches the size of a shveris anayid, it's good enough. The Dvar Avram and the Merami Sada are even more lenient. And they say we don't even have to have the shear of kishveris anayid. They say that Zriya and Ashaka are not identical. And even though we're learning in our Gemara that in order to accomplish Ashaka, you have to have the shear of kishveris anayid, in order to accomplish Zriya, as long as there's the most minimal connection, it would be sufficient.